Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6, although most of the sermon's focused on verse 1 with references to the rest of the verses. We're going to look today at approaching God on behalf of others. Approaching God on behalf of others. Many of you are aware that when I first came to the church back in 2005, I had returned with my family from Louisville, Kentucky, and Pastor Al had given me a phone call to consider Hillside as the next ministry. And, of course, I'm here, so I guess it worked out. Well, during the early stages of the ministry here, I helped my dad with his bread and meat ministry, his food pantry down in Manchester for several years, even to the point where after he had passed, Ken and I ran it for about another 4 or 5 years until it finally closed. But when I first got here early, one of the things that I would do is we'd go and work the whole morning, and then my dad would take me and generally a few other people or one other person. I always wondered if my dad was just afraid to be alone with me. However, he took more people with him. And this particular time, it was like the first time that I had gone to lunch with Dad and another individual, Mike Lavoy. Mike was always hanging around my dad. My dad utilized his energy and efforts to do work at the ministry and other things. And so Mike was with us. And so we get into my dad's favorite restaurant, the Manchester Buffet. It's a Chinese food restaurant. He got to know the owner really well, and my dad patroned the place often. And when my dad would patron the place, he didn't come alone. He came with an entourage, which made the owner very happy to see all of us show up at lunchtime. But on that particular day, we were shown our table, but we went right up because we were all hungry, and we immediately get our stuff and we sit down. But true to form, I'm not going to start eating until I at least have prayer over our food. My dad won't either. And so when Mike shows up, my dad looks at me and says, Jim, or he always called me Jimmy, Jimmy, he goes, why don't you pray for the food? And I don't exactly remember what I said, but I will tell you it was no longer than 10, 15 seconds long. To which at that moment, after I was done praying for the food, I began to dive into the food and I look up and Mike's just staring at me. I went, what's up, Mike? He goes, well, that was a really quick prayer, Jim. I said, and? He goes, it was really quick. I said, listen, when it's time to have lunch, this is not the time to pontificate over everything else going on in your life. This is not the time to take moments and think of every problem you're facing. Listen, my face is over that food. I am smelling that food. I want that food. My mind is on that food. I'm just going to give a quick prayer of thank you, and off I go. You know, it's like that Tim Allen quote from Richer or Poorer, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. I mean, yes, and Pastor Al loves, bless this mess, Lord. I mean, that's a good one too, right? I mean, there are quick prayers. As a preacher's kid and a preacher's grandson, my grandfather would come and visit us on a regular basis, and when he'd visit us, it was always that moment when my dad asked and said, Ivan, would you please pray for the meal? And I knew I wasn't eating for at least 5 more minutes. And he would go on and on and on. And I can guarantee you, my mind was not on the words he was uttering. It was on, oh my God, let this be over. I'm hungry. Now, that wasn't very spiritual, but I was a kid. But as such, this we don't necessarily need to have that level of praying. I use that as an illustration to point out something many of us already know within our Christian walk, but maybe sometimes we don't think about it, and it's this. There are different types of prayers for differing types of circumstances, right? They're not the same kind of prayers every time we offer up prayers. The prayers you may have in your quiet home, as the Bible says, go into your closet and pray, right? When you go into secret, when you go into your own time with the Lord, there are things you're going to utter, and a way in which you're going to pray is different than when you're asked to pray for the offering at church. Right? The prayers are different. We understand that. It's quite clear to us. And today we're going to look at different kinds of prayers mentioned to us by Paul to Timothy. Timothy, who is a young pastor at Ephesus, he's getting some instructions. Timothy is going through a bit of some problems, and so Paul's writing this letter to encourage him in his pastoral work. And part of this encouragement is here, teach the church, teach the community of faith these things. And that's what we're going to look at today. So if you would follow along with me as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, like God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." So if you would, look on your outline with me as we look at four ways in which we approach God on behalf of others. First, Paul says, offer up entreaties, or your particular translation might have supplications. Entreaties or supplication. Paul tells us to offer these up on behalf of others. So what is an entreaty? Well, just plainly put, it means that with a sincere heart and with great feeling that we approach God on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we beg God to act on their needs. What are the needs? Well, it varies, but in the context Paul tells us to do this is so that we can have a peaceful or tranquil life, and we also pray for their salvation. So we're praying for a level of community and a measure of salvation among those who aren't saved in life. We're called in this way to beg God to win them to Christ for his glory and for his, or for their benefit. So offering up supplications for others is to go before God in their stead and ask God to do for them as he would do for us. But such entreaties are not limited to the unsaved alone. It's also for anyone we know has needs within the community of faith. We're offering up entreaties and supplications on behalf of others. It is honestly a mark of a mature Christian who knows how to approach God for the sole sake of somebody else, not yourself. It's an act of mature faith to go to God and pray not with any concern of your own, but with the concern of an individual. It's entreating when we go to the Lord through supplication. It's approaching God for the benefits of what someone else will receive with no direct or apparent benefit to the petitioner, namely you, of God. So when we think of this, when we think of entreaties and supplications as Paul instructs us to do here, this type of worship to God requires that we place ourselves aside and we think only of others who are hurting and in need, who need God. To go this way to God on behalf of another is to place oneself aside and to think only of that other's condition or their predicament or their need. So this approach, as a believer, as Paul instructs Timothy to instruct the church, this approach tests the heart condition of the one who is approaching God and points to the mature faith that desires God's glory to be exemplified in the life of someone else. Let me ask you, how often do you approach God on behalf of another person in your life? How often do you offer up prayers for someone else that in the answer to such prayers, you actually receive nothing from it? You just simply realize, I need to pray for this person, or I desire to see this person's growth, or I know that they're struggling, and you may never even utter the words that I've been praying for you. Do you think of others when you are in communion with God to the point that you ask God on their behalf to work in their lives? Years ago, when I was in my second church, my brother Ken came to visit us. He got a chance to spend some time there, and he got to meet the members of the church. We hung out and did a few things. He actually was there working on his doctorate of ministry in Louisville, and he went back and took care of his classes and left, and that was about it. Sometime later, I was talking with him on the phone, and he had commented that he had been praying for me. I didn't know that. I had no idea why he thought he was praying, what he needed to pray for me. I knew there were some issues in the church, but I really didn't share them with him. I wasn't going over the problems. He had his own problems. I wasn't going to bother him. He had his own ministry. He had his own issues. So I don't know exactly what led him or prompted him, but you know, the reality is he came to visit, he saw what was going on, and he felt deep down within his heart the need to go to God by way of entreaty, by way of supplication on my behalf. I mean, this had literally nothing to do with him. And though it did not, I didn't know it at the time that he was praying for me, you know, when I think about it and look back, I can see the hand of God in many of the things that I went through in my second church. And I do believe that a lot of the things that were achieved, a lot of the things that were settled, a lot of the things that were overcome, which there was a lot in my first two churches, but my second church had some issues quite a bit, that it was by way of Ken's prayers that enabled us to get through that time. And consider for a moment that my brother was not going to gain anything from that prayer. He wasn't seeking any benefits from it. He wasn't trying to further his own agenda or put forth any sort of personal plan. In fact, to be honest with you, he never saw the place again. But with that mature faith and a sensitive heart, he recognized the need to approach God through supplication on behalf of someone else, namely me. So in that, he shared my burden. He shared my trials. He shared the troubles I was going through. And God relieved me from it not too long after. How are you sharing the burdens of others in your life? Well, here's the secret. In order to share such burdens, you need to have your eyes open to the needs and the pains and the problems of others who you meet in life. And when you are aware, then be led by the Lord to go to God on behalf of someone else. And let me encourage you to go one step further, like my brother did. When the time is right and the opportunity avails itself, let that person know you've been praying for them. Not with some agenda, not with some expectations other than what God was going to do, but just simply let them know, I'm sharing that burden with you by way of entreating God to work in you and your situation. That will be a great encouragement to somebody to know that you're going on behalf of them in prayer and you're going to approach God so that they know they're on your mind and your heart. Another way in which we go to God is not just through entreaties, but also through prayer. I mean, if you notice, Paul specifically uses the word entreaties and prayers. And when we look at this, you say, you might be thinking, well, isn't all of this praying? Well, yes, of course, in a sense it is. Whenever we approach God, that is praying. When we go through to God through a spirit of submission, that is the act of prayer. But the word here means more, and that's why Paul segregates it from the other three. That's why he specifically mentions prayer as a part, in part, and as part of the list of approaching God on behalf of others. So when Paul singles this out in his list, he's saying that we, as individuals who are believers, are to enter into the throne room of God and pray that God do a mighty work in their lives. To go to God with no other agenda, no other item on the list except for someone or situation you're approaching him about. Going to God in prayer is the need to just stop in the middle of what you are doing when others come to mind and go to God immediately. Now, that's a little hard thing to consider when it says pray without ceasing. Many of us see prayer as the moment that we got to stop and we bow our heads and close our eyes. Well, here's a secret for you. Do you know that that's totally not how prayer was done in the Bible? Prayer is done in the Bible, in the Middle East, especially among the Israelites, with literally faces upward or faces in full prostration, eyes open, voices aloud in their prayers, glorifying God. There's only one account in Scripture where we find someone praying in her heart, and that's Samuel's mom when she was praying that the Lord would produce for her a child, Hannah. Right? So she has Samuel and dedicates it to the Lord, but she's praying in her heart, and Eli wrongly thinks she's a drunken woman because she's babbling with her mouth, but no voices are coming out. Nothing's coming out. It's common for us to actually pray openly, loudly, where people can actually hear you praying, but it's a little uncomfortable for us in this Western culture where we want to bow our heads, close our eyes, and fall asleep in the middle of a prayer. How many have done it? Come on. Praying without ceasing is God implanting on your heart somebody. I've tried to learn to do this over the last 10 years, that when someone comes to mind, that I don't stop in the middle and go, God, you know, let me pray to you for 5 minutes. No, my thoughts are, as I'm moving, as I'm driving especially, you don't want me bowing my head, closing my eyes, I think of that person and I simply utter the words, Lord, be with them right now. I don't know why you made me think of them, but I thought of them, but be with them right now. Or if I know they're going through a problem and they come to my heart or my mind, in the moment I say, Lord, be with them in this trial. That's offering up prayers. Now, yes, in some way it's entreating, in some way it's intercession, in other ways it's all these type wrapped together, but it's the way in which you approach God. Praying without ceasing isn't like you're spending all day 3 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours like some of the reformers would do back 400, 500 years ago. No, it's praying when you at the opportunity to just approach God. And approaching God is like approaching one another in many ways. We just simply say, hey, how you doing? How's things going? How's your day going? What's happening? What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about that. That's how we should approach God regularly, with a little bit more reverence. But let me encourage you to approach God without ceasing, and keep people in mind. And when they come, just simply offer them up to the Lord in that moment. That's a prayer. That's offering up their needs. It has nothing to do with you other than the fact that you're being aware of what's going on, or God brings them into your heart and mind. And I'll tell you, the last several years, I've had people come to mind I haven't thought about for ages. And I thought, oh, Lord, you brought them to my heart for a reason, so I pray in the moment for them. I have no idea what becomes of it. It's not my job to know the results. My job is to be obedient in offering up prayers on behalf of others. So let me encourage you to just simply love others, to think of them. And when you approach God, you mention them as a blessing, by way of blessing. We are to mention them before God so that He can lift them, encourage them, and help them in any way. So the biggest thing we can do for another person is to mention them in prayer before God, who did you notice, Paul says it, this is like, I think the second time he says it in the book of 1 Timothy, God our Savior. He says that in the introduction of the letter as well, where he says, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. An Old Testament perspective is God is our Savior. The Father is our Savior. The Father has put forth the plan of salvation. Jesus, who is the righteous one, is the object of our salvation, yes, and the fulfillment of our salvation. But the plan begins in at the heart of God. And so when Paul says here, now, God our Father, when we offer up prayers to another on behalf of another person and mention them, we are praying to God the Father, who is our Savior, and He will bring them to a saving faith in Christ Jesus, who is the object of that faith, the man who is the mediator between us and God. What we're asking is, Lord, do the high priestly work that Christ is called to do on behalf of another person. In the late 1700s and the early 1800s, the leaders of the Chatham sect of British social reformers such as someone like William Wilberforce, daily gave themselves to 3 hours of prayer. Can you imagine if our politicians did that? Gave themselves to 3 hours of prayer. First of all, I think the first thing would change would be their perspective of what they should be praying about, because God will reveal that to them. Anyways, they were known for organizing Christians throughout the country to unite on special prayers for critical debates that were going on in Parliament at that time. When Parliament voted their way, or what seemingly was their way, some quipped that, well, that's just only coincidence. To which one of the groups from that reformer group, his name was William Temple, he replied to the critics, "When I pray, coincidence happens. But when I don't, they don't." This is why Paul mentions praying for specifically our leaders, so that we, if possible, could leave a civil life in the pagan world, and that they too may actually come to a saving knowledge of Christ in the truth. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We want our leaders to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. We want them to be where we are in Christ. And so Paul says, offer up prayers. We're told to approach God this way so that they will all come to faith, for our God desires all individuals to be saved, all peoples to come to that saving faith. As Christians, we know that through the sovereignty of God, there is no such thing as a coincidence. For our eternal God works through the faithful praying of his followers to show himself and to show his glory to a lost and dying world who is often void of ever considering anything about him. So let me encourage you today. Be fervent in our prayers for others. Learn to pray without ceasing. Learn to approach God in every way you can, not just in a one specific way. Another thing that Paul says what we should do is also offer up intercession on behalf of another. Intercessory prayer is going to God with the sole specific reason of lifting up another in urgent need or for a dire reason. It could be going to God to ask someone's life to be spared in a critical surgery. It could be going to God because you know that that person you are praying for is undergoing a level of intense persecution. It could be that you know someone who is about to make a life-altering decision, good or bad, and it weighs upon your heart. Intercessory prayer is when you go to God on behalf of another, intensely asking God to respond with clarity in the life of someone else. So here it is. When you act as an intercessor, you act as Christ would act, for you are trying to be that go-between between them and God. Another way to look at it is that you choose to stand in the gap and take on spiritual responsibility of what may come in the life of that individual. And if possible, you take on another's burden as if it really is your own. To go to God in intercessory prayer is to beseech God as if it is you who are going through it, the trial, the pain, the pressure yourself. So, in intercessory prayer, you go to God and you plead, you beg, and you cry as if you are the one who is going through the ordeal, because you are that closely connected to the one who is actually going through it themselves. So when taking on another's burden, what you're doing is you're going to God and you're standing in the gap. That's not easy. It may require more of you than you may be ready to give in that moment. But when you act as an intercessor on behalf of another and you take on a greater connection and responsibility for that which you are praying for, then the rewards are immense spiritually. Intercessory prayer occurs when a person is in surgery and they are unconscious and cannot pray for themselves. Or it can be for a brother or sister who is severely persecuted, jailed, or even tortured for Christ. It could be a prayer for that an unbeliever who needs to come to know the Lord as Savior. Intercessory action is when you pray for someone else who cannot pray for themselves, or if the matter's too big for them to pray alone. So we are called to step into the gap for the helpless. We are called to be there when people feel hopeless, for those who may feel despair and destitute. We intercede for those who are weary in faith, who feel spiritually defeated. We go to God especially when they themselves cannot feel they can go to God or may never go to God. I remember in one of my churches, one of the members of my church, they had a family member get into a severe car accident. You never know when you're going to get that call, what time of the night. I know a few years ago, my friend Johnny, who died in a motorcycle accident, I got that about 1 o'clock in the morning. Those are not the good phone calls that you get. This one was one of those. It was late in the evening. You get word that they had an accident, and they were rushed to the emergency room at the hospital, which was a half hour away, and the family member was not expected to live. They had to do some surgery. And the younger individual who had the accident eventually went into a coma, not one put on medically, but an actual coma from the brain damage he received. It was bad. The doctors prepared the family for the worst, basically saying, we don't have hope that your son's going to live. To which, at that moment, the family decided to send out the prayer chain, right? And literally asked all the members of the family, who were various members in all kinds of churches in the region, to call their churches and begin to pray. Well, we did. As far as I'm concerned, I took part in that prayer. And I know lots of other people did too. It wasn't too long after he came out of the coma. It wasn't too far after that he was speaking. He had levels of cognitivity that they were very surprised about. But there was still touch and go. They didn't know how he was really going to be verbally, mentally, being able to walk and all those things. Within a matter of 6 months, you wouldn't even know he was in an accident. It was an amazing recovery. It was a miracle and of miracles. Why was it that way? Is it possible it was that way? Because so many people went to the Lord in intercessory prayer. He couldn't pray for himself. And the parents were in so much grief, I wonder if they even prayed themselves at that time, other than to simply say, save our son, save our son, save our son. But to see not only their son saved, but nearly fully recovered as if nothing had ever happened months later, that's a miracle upon miracles. God does hear our prayers. And he is pleased with us when we go to him on behalf of another person and we bear that burden. We plead for them. We beg for them. We may even cry for them and with them in the moment. And we ask God, God, be God in this moment. And when he is, don't be surprised by it. Don't be surprised by it. Because God loves to bless his people who come to him collectively through intercessory prayer. There's so many illustrations that are out there of intercessory prayer. But in this particular case, Paul is saying to us, let's offer up this kind of praying on behalf of our kings and our authorities, that we may have a tranquil life, that we may have a life of godliness and dignity in this world that has fallen. Let us go to God because that's acceptable and that's good in his sight to go to God this way, because he is our Savior and he wishes none to perish, but he wishes all to turn to Christ his Son for salvation. Intercessory prayer is doing that. Asking God to be God, to win people to his Son, Jesus, to glorify his name. Often, intercessory prayer doesn't have anything to do with us, too. Much like entreaties, and supplications, much like offering up prayers if people come to your heart. Intercessory prayer, whether by emergency or by design, is there in a sense that it has nothing really to do with you, but in the hopes that God is glorified through it. Well, the last thing he says about approaching others, approaching God on behalf of others, is to offer up thanksgiving. No, it's not about turkey and football. It's asking God or thanking God for that which he has already done or is going to do. So the last way we look at this is when we think of others and approach God on behalf of others, we offer up thanksgiving in what God is doing in their lives, what God is accomplishing in their salvation, what God is accomplishing through their work, what God is accomplishing through the answer to all your praying. We go to God and give thanks for the manifestation of his love and goodness in the lives of those whom we love, whom we like, and yes, maybe even whom we hate. When was the last time you prayed for your enemies and then gave God thanks because of what he's doing in their lives? We are to praise God for that which he accomplishes in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those who count themselves not so friendly to us. And we are to praise God in thankfulness for when he reveals himself to those whom we are praying for, who did not know him before our prayers, but now know him as our Savior and Lord. Some years ago, a young girl was very sick and not expected to recover. Because of her love for Jesus, she was troubled that she had not been able to do more for him in her short life. Her pastor suggested that she make a list of people in their little town who needed Christ and to pray that they might put their faith in him. So she took this advice to heart. She made a list, and she prayed often for each person on that list. Sometime later, God began to stir a revival in that little village, and the girl heard of the people who were coming to Christ, and she prayed even more. As she heard reports, she checked off the names of those who had been on her list. After the girl died, a prayer list with the names of 56 people was found under her pillow. All had put their faith in Christ, the last one on the night before her death. As I consider this last illustration, one can see that it really encompasses all four ways in which we are to approach God on behalf of others. The young girl offered up her entreaties to the Lord for their salvation. She prayed for them as she thought of them regularly. She acted as the intercessor on their behalf, standing in the gap. And lastly, with joy, she marked their names off in thanksgiving for what God did in saving them. As we consider Paul's letter to young Timothy, we recognize that in the instruction as good, to pray for others in entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving, this is good instruction, and it is right. And Paul tells the young pastor to instruct his church to approach God this way, to offer up these supplications, to offer up to the Lord these concerns. Why? Because that is the way God would have us pray for others. Life is hard. It doesn't always go according to plan. And when others make life difficult, it really can seem unbearable at times, can it? However, as Christians, we're called to persevere in the faith. That means to remain under the weight of something till the Lord lifts it off of us. So we are to persevere in the faith, remain under that trial, and wait for God to get you through that tribulation. And that may mean that he will bring people into your life who are not pleasant, that people who are brought into your life who are needy, people who are brought into your life who may want more of you than you're willing to give. But yet, this is what God tells us to do. We are offering up prayers and entreaties and supplications, or in this case, petitions and thanksgivings before the Lord, be intercessors. So when people cause you problems, what is your initial reaction? I mean, this is part of what Paul is even writing to Timothy about. There's problems in the church. They're having issues with some of the officials. They're going through some difficult times. What are we to do when we go through these problems, or when we think of others, or when we realize what's happening? We are to go to God the Savior who sent Jesus Christ the man, because he desires none to perish. And so God has brought that person or persons into your life, if for no other reason, to pray for them. Now, I hope it's more than that. I hope it means you can stand in the gap and you can be a witness of Christ to them. I hope you have the opportunity to win them to Christ in faith. I hope you have more opportunity to do greater things, to minister to others who are going through trials and tribulations themselves. But at the very least, we are to pray. We are to offer up entreaties. We're to be giving up thanksgivings and petitions to the Lord, standing in that gap. God will answer your prayers. I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? Sometimes it feels like God just doesn't listen, or he's not responding, or we're doing something wrong, or we're not getting the results we hope to get or want to get. And you know, the fact is God still hears our prayers. He's a God who sees. He's a God who hears. He's a God who knows. And he is very delighted when you come to him and offer up prayers for other people, for others, whether they're your friends or whether they're not your friends. Ultimately, God will answer our prayers one way or another. Or maybe he'll just call you home first. Who knows? Because Christ is our ransom, as we find in the last part of these verses, he gave himself as a ransom, verse 6, for us all. Because Christ is our ransom who came at the proper time, it is now the time for us to offer up his salvation to others. And to follow up that desire by praying for them, by approaching God on their behalf. Let your heart sing unto the Lord, for in your communion with him, joy is given. To the one who places his or her hope in God, there is no disappointment. And that's what we do when we approach God this way. We're placing our hopes, our expectations, our desires on him, and asking him to do for others what they may not be able to ask on their own behalf. So let me encourage you, go to God on behalf of others and see what he will do for his glory. See what he will do for your faith, and see what he will do by giving salvation to another person you're praying for. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you praise. Lord, we recognize that as Christians, we have no right to even approach you in prayer. I know that might sound odd to many ears today, but we don't. Before you came into our life, we were vile, we were lost, we were separated from you, we were your enemies. And many of us hated you, God. We have no right to go to you. We recognize that in our fallen state, we have no right, but here we are because Christ offered up himself as a ransom for many, because he stood in the gap, because he is the man who died on the cross for our salvation, because he shed our blood in accordance to God the Father, our Savior's plan of redemption. Those of us who know you, we are now invited into your throne room, into your presence. Lord, we're instructed here today to go to you this way, by way of supplication, by way of prayer, by way of intercession, and by way of thanksgiving. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. May we take advantage of this often in every day that we walk this earth. May we take advantage of this invitation in such a way that we desire not only to offer up to you our prayer list, but to just simply get to the point where we just want to be with you, to know we're in your presence at that moment. Lord, we all know we're in your presence all the time. You're sovereign. But Lord, through prayers, we recognize we enter into your very presence. And what's wonderful is that you want us there. You love us to be there. And all of us praying at the same time in the entire world is not too much prayers to be offered for you to hear them all. And we praise you for that. Thank you for this gift that we are given. And may you lead us to be effective ministers in this world through this means, that we may glorify you and see you glorified in others. In Jesus' name, amen.